Andrew, would you like to start now? Yeah,
Yeah, let's make a start.
okay, perfect. So thank you everyone for joining. Just a quick start. I'm Sevjan and I'm the marketing executive at Knowledge Train. Knowledge Train is a training provider and owns Agile KRC, which specifically focuses on Agile. Just before I head over to Andrew, I would like to mention that at the end there will be a Q&A session. So if you have any questions, you can always pop it down in the chat and Andrew will answer them at the end. Andrew, over to
Thanks, Sevcan. Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. Couple of bits and pieces. It's quite nice to see some familiar faces popping up in the participant list. Even people who've been on some of my courses who've come back for more. Extraordinary. So welcome to the afternoon's session. Just to explain how it's going to work. My plan is to talk for about 40 minutes or so. And then we'll have a Q&A session. And obviously it's an agile session, so we will finish on time at 5 o'clock or by 5 o'clock. In terms of the Q&A session, if people think of questions during the session, please pop them in the chat. If I think they're relevant to address at the time, I'll pick them up immediately. Otherwise, we'll address them at the end of the session. So just use the chat for those, please. Also, I'm going to suggest that if you want to share any of your experiences about the subject matter, with me or with the other participants, again, please use the chat for that as well. I will endeavor to keep an eye on it as we go through the material. Those of you who have been on my courses will know that multitasking is not necessarily my strength. I'm also going to make a confession. This is the first time I've used this platform in anger. So apologies if I screw anything up. Hopefully I won't. Sevcan's on hand to sort of help me out if I do get a bit stuck. So let's have a look at what we're going to cover. And by the way, I've noticed that my location in the participant list is down as Newcastle. Not that it matters, but I'm not in Newcastle. I'm in Surrey, so I'm absolutely nowhere near Newcastle. It doesn't, not that it matters. I couldn't work out how to change it. So what are we going to spend talk about over the next 40 minutes or so? Let me just go and find my slides. There we go. I'll start with a very quick introduction. Obviously, not everyone in the group has come across me before, so I'll just give a very quick introduction, a little bit of my background. We're then going to talk about some of the real basics to do with projects and agile. Obviously, I don't know what people's experience is in terms of projects or Prince 2 or agile or even Prince 2 agile. So we will go through some of the real basics. We'll also discuss some of the real basics of Prince 2 again and how it relates to agile. And hopefully also in that session, we'll do a little bit of myth busting. There are a lot of preconceptions and sometimes prejudices about some of this subject matter, and we'll try and bust some of those myths. Also, I'm going to attempt to answer the question, is an agile project an oxymoron? You know, does that sentence actually make sense? Clearly, I think it does, by the way, but we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about what Prince 2 Agile is, what it is, what it isn't, but also where it fits into some of the other agile approaches that I'm sure quite a few guys are familiar with. We're then going to talk about something called the hexagon. And this is Prince 2 Agile's version of the traditional time, cost, quality, scope triangle that I'm sure quite a few of you are familiar with. So we'll go through Prince 2 Agile's hexagon. Then we're going to talk about the elements of Prince 2. Again, an introductory overview. We'll discuss the Prince 2 Agile's targets, behaviors, frameworks, focus areas, techniques, and concepts. Then I'm going to talk very briefly about a concept that I think is mine, actually, which is something that I call Agile by Stealth, which will probably be the title of my book whenever I get around to writing it, which I probably won't. But if I did, that's what it's going to be called. And then hopefully that'll be round about 4:40, maybe between 4:40 and 4:45. And then we'll have to have time for a Q&A session. I'm hoping to fit in a couple of polls if we have time, certainly one, maybe two polls as we go through. So that'll give you a chance to have some of your inputs. Sevcan, I've just noticed that someone has raised their hand, but I have no way of telling easily who that was or what it's about. So
Yeah, it's Susanna.
okay.
Would you like to write in the chat if that's
Yeah,
okay?
that's what I was going to suggest. So whatever it is you're trying to raise, Susanna, if you could pop that in the chat, that will be the easiest way of dealing with it. So let's go back to the slides. Starting with an introduction to me, apologies to those of you who have been on one of my training courses because you'll have heard all of this before. I have over 30 years. Almost, I really didn't like writing that on a slide, but I do have over 30 years of experience in lots of different roles. I've worked as a developer, I've worked as an analyst, both a systems and a business analyst, actually. I've worked as a project manager, I've been a consultant, I've worked as a trainer, as I know some of you know. I do currently work as an agile coach, and I've also had a role as a business systems manager. I've worked for lots of different organizations. I've put a little list of them down the bottom of the slide. I won't read them out. You can look at those for yourselves. I've been using Agile, again, terrifying amount of time, effectively now for 28 years. In the 1990s, and I know some of you will know this already, we weren't calling it Agile, we were calling it RAD. RAD stands for Rapid Application Development. But I was a RAD developer in the 90s. Then obviously Agile came along in 2001, and I've been working in Agile in various different roles, for a very long time now. I've been an independent consultant since 2009. So for 13 years now, I've worked for myself. I've worked for Agile KRC since 2011. So I've been working with these guys for 11 years, running a lot of courses and doing some Agile coaching. I would describe myself as an Agile pragmatist. I don't think I'm an Agile evangelist. I'm very keen on Agile. I hope that will come across in this session. But I know that Agile isn't a silver bullet. You know, it's not a magical way of making things easy. It's not necessarily a cheap way of doing things. It's not necessarily an easy or quick way of doing things. It's a way of doing things. And if you get certain things right, Agile works really well. And I've seen Agile work brilliantly on, you know, in all sorts of different environments. I've also seen Agile fail spectacularly. And if you don't get certain things right, Agile really struggles. Sentences like, we're going to use Agile for everything, in most companies don't really make sense. So I like to think of myself as an Agile pragmatist. I'm also, and some of you will know this already, very fond of a cheese joke. And I'm known for two things on the courses that I run. One is endlessly talking about Agile, and the other is cheese jokes. Now, some of you will have heard some of my cheese jokes before, and there are some very well-known cheese jokes. So I'm actually going to pop a little cheese-related question in the chat, which I'd like you to think about during the webinar. This is a slightly more obscure cheese joke. And if you think, you know, you've worked out the answer, pop it in the chat. And if no one's got it, I'll tell you what the answer is at the end of the session. So the question is, in the chat, how would you describe eating a whole Greek cheese? So that's something to think about in the background, hopefully while also still listening to me, by the way. So it's not one of the ones I use on my courses. So if you've been on one of my courses, you probably won't have heard that joke before. So that's an introduction to me. Let's talk about projects. And I'm sure, I'm not going to assume any particular degree of knowledge. That's not the answer, Emily. That's the answer to a different cheese question. I like the answer. It's not the answer I'm after. I'm not going to assume a certain level of knowledge in the audience about any of the subject matter. So we'll start with some real basics. Projects are typically complicated. They're unique. They're temporary. And a project should always end. I mean, I've certainly worked on projects in the past that felt like they were never going to, but there should always be an end point on a project. And projects, by definition, need project management. They need a degree of control. They need planning. They typically need, you know, things to be recorded and documented. You know, the level to which you need those things will depend on the project and the context and the company you work for and what your regulatory requirements are and governance needs are. So that's a little bit about projects. Agile has been around since 2001, when the Agile Manifesto and the original 12 Agile Principles were published. And Agile is a way of doing things. I always describe it as a mindset. An Agile mindset is a phrase I use all the time. So when we work in an Agile way, we're very flexible. You know, a lot of Agile methods or approaches, they're not recipe books. They're designed to be tailored and adapted to what you're working on. They're also flexible in terms of handling change. And I always ask at the beginning of sessions, when people are joining in, do you work on projects where you don't get change? And I don't think I've ever had a positive answer to that question, by the way. So we all work on projects where things change. So there's no point in pretending things don't change. Let's accept that things are going to change. And when they change, we'll try and deal with them. So that's an aspect of flexibility. Agile approaches are highly collaborative. So they typically involve working in teams. And those are cross-functional teams where you've got very strong representation from the customer, as well as the more technical people involved, as well as people from the management side. all working together collaboratively. Agile is very value-driven, very strong focus on understanding what value means to the customer and trying to deliver that to those people. Also, we deliver solutions incrementally. In a pure waterfall approach, we deliver the solution at the end in what is commonly referred to as a big bang. That's getting close, Mark, that answer I've just spotted in the chat. So we're getting in the right direction. So we deliver solutions in Agile incrementally rather than doing it at the end. And that gives us the ability to deliver early value to the customer. So that aligns with value driven. When we develop solutions, we do it iteratively and we invite feedback from the customer on a very frequent basis. And we show people what we're doing and we try and find out whether we're getting it right or not. And if we're getting it wrong, that's not necessarily a bad thing as long as we found out quickly. And that's iterative development. And just at the bottom of the slide, I've put that Agile is used in both a BAU, business as usual environment, where we do lots of ongoing sort of work, typically updating things that already exist, but it's also used in a project environment. And certainly over the last at least 10 years, there's been an increase in the use of Agile in the project environment, probably longer than that, actually, thinking about it. I've also popped on the slide. You'll notice quite a few images appearing on my slides, mostly relevant. I've popped the Agile Manifesto. I'm sure quite a few of you are very familiar with the Agile Manifesto. It's been around since 2001. It has 12 Agile principles that sit behind it. It contains 4 Agile values. It's probably the closest thing that exists in the world to a definition of what we mean by Agile. Now, what the Agile Manifesto does do is mention the word software, and it has done since 2001. What some organizations have done, the Agile Business Consortium, for example, is they've replaced that word software with something like solution. And if you make that minor tweak to this manifesto, this is a set of values that applies to anything you do. It doesn't have to be to do with software. So that's quite a nice adaptation of the manifesto that I've come across being used by some organizations. So a little bit about projects and Agile. Again, I put this slide in just to show one of the clear differences between a waterfall project and an iterative and incremental project. The waterfall project, very linear, very sequential, typically very structured, and we don't deliver something to the customer until the end of the project. An Agile project, we deliver the solution incrementally, so they get something that they can start using for real earlier. So there's your early value. And when we develop those solutions, we do it iteratively. And I always think of iterative as another word for cyclical. So when we develop something iteratively, we're going around cycles of development. So I quite like this slide. It just shows really simply the difference, the major difference really between a waterfall approach and an Agile approach. And I'm sure quite a few of you are familiar with this language already. Well done, Chris. That is the right answer. So when you describe eating a whole Greek cheese, it's a fait accompli. Sorry about the pun. I was hoping that someone wouldn't get that quite so quickly. Damn it. Now let's talk about Prince 2 and then a little bit more about Agile relating to Prince 2. So Prince 2 has been around since 1996, so a well-established project management approach. In fact, as Prince, it existed before that. But as Prince 2, it's been around since 1996. There was a fairly major update to Prince 2 in 2009. And in 2009, they completely aligned Prince 2 with Agile. And since, you know, for 13 years now, there's been nothing in Prince 2 that goes against doing things in an Agile way. So it's not a traditional, you know, waterfall project management approach. That is a very common misconception. And I do get a lot of people on courses who talk about Prince 2, clearly talking about it as a waterfall approach. So it's not a waterfall project management approach. It can be used clearly to run waterfall projects, but it can also be used to run Agile projects. It's also got this very strong reputation for being very, very bureaucratic. Those of you who know something about Prince 2 will know that there are 26 management products in Prince 2. So absolutely, it could become very, very bureaucratic. Of course it could. But sometimes we need a high degree level of bureaucracy on complex, highly governed projects. There's also a bit of a misconception that Prince 2 is very much a command and control style of management. And that also is not true. And one of the Prince 2 principles we're going to look at in a moment is managed by exception, which is very much moving away from, you know, very old school, traditional command and control styles of management. So a little bit about PRINCE2, and I'm sure we've got quite a few PRINCE2 practitioners in the group. Now, PRINCE2 Agile, it's been around since 2015. So it's been around for 7 years now. So again, relatively well established. It's useful on any project. Again, it's not designed just for IT projects. You can use PRINCE2 Agile on any sort of project. Agile is probably still predominantly used in software development, but over the last few years, it's very much moved away from that. And more companies are using Agile on all sorts of different projects. And the PRINCE2 Agile view of Agile is that Agile is a family of behaviors, concepts, frameworks or approaches, and finally techniques. And we'll go through each of those elements a little bit later on in the session. So finally, a little on the bit on this slide about Agile. And one of the common misconceptions is that Agile and Scrum are the same thing. And I think the reason for that is that Scrum is the most widely used Agile approach. So most people using Agile talk about sprints, they talk about product owners, they talk about backlogs, you know, they use all the Scrum language. As I know some of you know, there are lots of other Agile frameworks and approaches, and we'll have a quick look at some of those in a little bit. Also, Agile is not a binary condition, and this is something we're going to explore in a moment in a bit more detail. So being Agile is not yes or no. It's more about, you know, how much Agile can we use on this bit of work that we're doing. And there's, again, there's a misconception that Agile involves no planning, no control, no structure, no documentation. And again, that is very much not the case. Agile says you still need those things, but they need to be appropriate to what they're doing. And yes, we try and keep things as informal as we can and as flexible as we can. And we try and agree things collaboratively rather than focusing on very, you know, formal sign off. But we still need those levels of control. And the more governed the environment you work in, the more of that stuff you're going to need. So just hopefully trying to bust some of those myths that float around to do with all these subjects. So a very quick run through the PRINCE2 principles. And I'm sure there are people in the group who are more than familiar with PRINCE2. But if we look at PRINCE2's seven principles, they all align with Agile. There's nothing in here that goes against Agile. So the first one, continued business justification. We should always know why we're doing this project, you know, and understand what the business drivers are and have very clear goals, objectives, and vision. And they need to be clearly stated and defined so that we know why we're doing this thing. The second one, learn from previous experience. In other words, learn as you go. And we'll see the term continuous improvement coming up on a later slide. So, you know, if we are getting things wrong, what can we change to make things better? So absolutely learn from previous experience. Also, make sure we have clearly defined roles and responsibilities. And again, that aligns very well with Agile. You know, for example, Scrum has three clearly defined roles. There are other agile approaches like DSDM, which I know some of you will be familiar with, that have a more significant set of 13 roles, really well defined. Let's make sure we know who is responsible for what. Managed by stages, I think, can be aligned with Agile because you could replace the word stages with the word release or the word increment. And then you make sure you treat those increments or releases as management stages within PRINCE. The fourth one, very much about, you know, the management style, is we manage by exception. So as a project manager, you know, we do need to be happy that everyone's got very clear objectives. But then when the development teams are doing their thing, we try and leave them alone as much as we can. It's what we call hands-off project management. If they need help, we help them. And if something happens that is described as an exception, and we'll touch on exceptions briefly in a moment when we talk about the hexagon, then we step in and help the team out. The sixth one is focus on the definition and delivery of products. So we very much look at doing outcome-based planning and outcome-based measurement. And we plan around actually delivering things to the customer, which is what the customer is interested in at the end of the day. And finally, tailor to suit the project's environment. Again, extremely aligned with Agile. Tailor your approach to suit the project you're working on and the people you're working with and the constraints you've got on that project. So again, if we look at PRINCE2's principles, nothing in there that goes anything against Agile, very, very aligned with Agile indeed. So here's this question, and I've got some interesting pictures on this slide. Is the term Agile project an oxymoron? Can we have an Agile project? Do Agile projects exist? So the key thing here is that binary thinking is not actually that helpful. So describing a project as agile or not agile doesn't tend to help, because a lot of projects are in a bit of a grey area where they have a degree of suitability for agile, but perhaps also a degree of that doesn't suit agile. Maybe there are bits of the project that suit agile and there are bits that don't. So it's actually quite healthy to think of it as a spectrum. By the way, another quick question for you. This is probably a bit age specific, this reference. Does anyone in the group recognize the picture at the bottom of the slide? If you do, pop something in the chat and see if you can work out the relevance of it, by the way. It's a little bit tenuous, but agile, you should think of agile as a, there we go. Someone's come straight in with Rainbow. It's a TV program that some of you in the group will probably think of as a program from the olden times. It's a few years ago now. And it's a slightly broad slanted reference to a spectrum. Just an interesting graphic, I thought. So the question you should ask yourself at the beginning of a project is, how agile can this project be? And a lot of projects end up being some sort of hybrid where, you know, there's a degree of suitability for agile and a degree that's not. And we often find ourselves blending agile and waterfall. Now, I suspect some of you will have heard this word. There is a word that I've heard floating around called wagile, W-A-G-I-L. It's not a word I particularly like. It's a bit of a horrid word, but the concept makes complete sense. You know, this concept of blending waterfall and agile. But as per the meme on the right, that's not a simple thing to do. And if you're going to blend these two fundamentally different approaches and effectively cherry pick from each, you really need to know what you're doing. So it's healthy to think of, you know, projects in an agile context. That's quite a nice expression I came across. So that's sort of thinking about, you know, this is not yes or no. I've also put another picture in the top right hand corner of the slide. Some of you might recognize this. This is a focus area in Prince2 Agile called the agilometer. It's a word I sort of secretly quite like, actually, because it helps you understand how agile a project can be. We'll revisit the agilometer when we look at Prince2 Agile's focus areas a little bit later. The final question I've asked on this slide is there such a thing as an agile project manager? I must admit, my view is that if you're a project manager, you're a project manager. And if you're running an agile project, you're still a project manager. You're just running an agile project. If you're running a waterfall project, you're running a waterfall project. So I think the skill set, you know, broadly the same. You know, there are some things you might want to specialize in if you're looking at agile rather than waterfall. But that's my view anyway. So talking then about Prince2 Agile, first of all, Prince2 Agile is not a methodology. I do have a copy of the Prince2 Agile handbook on my desk. Of course I do. It's a fairly heavy, hefty old book, by the way. It's not dissimilar in size to the Prince2 manual. But this is not a methodology or a recipe book. It's basically guidance on, if you're going to apply Agile within a Prince2 project environment, how can we do that? And the diagram that you can see in the top right hand corner of my slide, when I first came across this diagram, I didn't work out it was a cake, by the way. It's a cake with layers. And when you know that, it's pretty obvious. But what we're trying to do in Prince2 Agile is take the strengths of both and blend them together. So Prince2 is very strong at the sort of project direction and governance level, and obviously the project management level. Agile is very strong in the product delivery area and to some extent in the project management area. And what we're trying to do with Prince2 Agile is blend those two things together and take the best bits of both. So what does it consist of? Oh, gone too far. There we go. Agile consists of a set of behaviors. We'll see what they are in a moment. Yeah, I've just seen Hannah's comment in the chat. Yeah, this session is going to be recorded and eventually it will be posted on, I think, Agile KLC's or Knowledge Train's website. So there will be a recording of this at some point. I don't think it'll be immediate, but there will be a recording. So we'll go through the behaviors in Prince2 Agile in a moment. There are also frameworks described in the manual, not very many and not in a lot of detail. And it does briefly mention some of the sort of IT only frameworks, but very, very briefly. And we'll look at what frameworks it does talk about in a few minutes time. There are also five focus areas, which again, we'll look at shortly. There are techniques. Again, the techniques are not covered in an enormous amount of detail, but quite a lot of the well-known agile techniques are covered in the book, and we'll touch on some of those later. There are also a set of concepts, and again, we'll see what those are later on. So that's what Prince2 Agile is. So let's have a look at this thing called the hexagon. And I know a lot of you in the group will be very familiar with the old sort of time, cost, quality, scope triangle. I've always been slightly confused that you can turn something that's got four elements into a triangle, but it's always shown as a triangle. What Prince2 Agile has introduced, and I really like this actually, is the concept of a hexagon, where we've actually got six things to consider. So the hexagon has six elements. It has time, cost, benefits, risk, quality criteria, and scope. And what the hexagon says is that there are two of these that we should probably fix, time and cost. And a lot of you will know that in Agile, there's a very strong focus on trying to fix time and cost. But with the others, there's probably going to be a degree of variability, because what we can't do on almost any project you ever work on is fix all of them. You know, you can't fix time, cost, benefits, risk, quality criteria, and scope, unless you could run a project in a completely sterile environment where there was no change, no resourcing challenges, you know, completely accurate estimates, etc. And that's not the real world. So we can't do that. So we need to know in the real world where the wiggle room is. You know, where have we got some flex? So in Agile, we move towards a model where we try and fix time and cost. You know, we will fix elements of the other four. So there may be certain benefits that are fixed. There may be certain elements of risk that are fixed. There may be certain elements of scope that are fixed. And in a lot of Agile environments, they talk about an MVP, which is non-negotiable, which has to be delivered. Also, the quality criteria of what we deliver. You know, we will fix certain elements of that, but we're not going to try and fix everything. So we need to understand where the give is. And again, this is very project specific. So for every project, you need to look at this hexagon and say, okay, for each of these six areas, what tolerance do I have? And those of you who are familiar with Prince2 will know that Prince2 talks about tolerances. So we should define tolerance for these six areas. And ideally, in an Agile project, time and cost would have zero tolerance. And to come back to the Prince2 principle of managed by exception, any prediction to exceed those tolerances would be described as an exception. So that's the Prince2 Agile hexagon. I really like that. So what are the five targets? I'll explain the washing machine in a moment. There are five targets defined by Prince2. Be on time and hit deadlines. Again, that's a very key part of the whole Agile mindset. Protect the level of quality. First of all, understand what defines the level of quality and then protect it. So don't deliver things on time by cutting corners that you shouldn't be cutting. Third one is that we embrace change. That's a term you'll find in across all sorts of agile approaches. So we don't view change as a negative thing. We know it's going to happen. When it happens, we'll do something about it. Fourth one, once we've established a development team, try and keep that team as stable as possible. A common cause of project failure is chopping and changing resources during development. Of course it is, it's common sense. So as much as we can, we keep the team stable. If we have to change the composition of a team, do it at a sensible boundary. You know, do it maybe at the end of a stage or increment or release. If you have to, do it at the end of a sprint or a time box. Don't do it midway through a development sprint. Of course, that's going to cause problems. Finally, and this is where the washing machine comes in, we accept that customers don't necessarily need everything they ask for. And the reason I put a picture of a washing machine on this slide, Seth Cam was asking me about this yesterday. That's quite a good example of a washing machine, I think, because if you look at the front of it, there are so many buttons and options and dials, and you've probably got, you know, tens, if not hundreds of different washing options. Most of us use two or three. And if we built a washing machine using an agile approach, we would build a washing machine that only had two or three settings, because that's what customers actually need. And it would probably be a much cheaper washing machine. And I must admit, I'd buy it in a flash. There are all sorts of real world things that are just over-engineered like that. Agile could fix some of those things, car interfaces, coffee machines, those sorts of things in my experience. And maybe it's just me, then I can't use them. So let's have a look at Prince 2 Agile's behaviors. And again, there are five behaviors in Prince 2 Agile, and we're going to do a little poll on these in a moment. I'll just read them out for now, and then we'll do a little poll, and then we'll talk about them a bit more. So there are five behaviors defined by Prince 2 Agile. The first is transparency. Again, a word I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. Then you've got collaboration. You've got rich communication. You've got self-organization, or what the latest version of the Scrum Guide calls self-management. And then you've got exploration. Now, I know that not all of you will necessarily know what all of those words mean. We're going to go through them in a moment. But I'd like to just do a quick poll with the people in the group. I'd like to find out which of those five behaviors you think is the most important for project success. So Sevcan, if you're there, can we do that poll now? Oh, there we go. Look at that. Well, this is very exciting. Very interesting to see if we get any sort of pattern with this. A couple more votes still coming in. Is it like the Eurovision Song Contest? Oh, a couple more. Is that about it? I think that's pretty much everyone done. I'm assuming that everyone can see those results. Can everyone see the results, Sevcan? Hopefully they can.
Not at the moment.
I'm going to share it now. Oh, sorry. Perfect.
Yeah, everyone can see them now.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. I told you guys I wasn't that familiar with this platform. So hopefully you can all now see the results of that poll. Interestingly, there is quite a clear winner. Almost half of you, 42%, have picked collaboration. Second is transparency. Third is rich communication. Interestingly, self-organization and exploration both have the same number of votes. Just two people voted for those. I don't think there's a right answer here. I must admit, if I was going to pick one, and I promise you, I'm not just saying this, I probably would pick collaboration because, you know, I've experienced problems on projects in the past which have been caused by problems with collaboration. And then I think if you're going to work effectively collaboratively, you've probably got to communicate well, and rich communication is a good way of doing that. So it's interesting that those two get quite high votes. Good. Thank you for that. So to go back to my slides, there we go. Thank you. Done it for me. Back to the slides. Just let's talk about these just very briefly. I'm sure quite a few of you know what these words mean. Transparency is about being very open, very honest about how things are going. It's also about putting information about how the project is going somewhere very, very visible. You know, back in the olden days, pre-COVID, when people were mainly in offices, a lot of agile teams would put information up on a wall where everyone can see it. These days, it's more likely to be in some sort of collaborative working tool. Collaboration is about working together, you know, to achieve something, and aligns with one of the values in the Agile Manifesto. We value customer collaboration above contract negotiation. Rich communication is about, you know, trying to get people away from putting things in emails, for example. And I love the quote from Elliot Spitzer that you can see on the slide. I've always really liked that quote. You know, and as a project manager, I would encourage people to speak to each other, you know, to communicate verbally if they can. If they want to confirm something, if they have to, put it in an email. So, you know, try and think about the different channels that you use to communicate. Self-organization or self-management is another term for the same thing, is about letting the team self-organize and come up with their own plans for how they're going to develop things. And exploration is a key part of Agile. It's encouraging people to be experimental and not be afraid to try things out and sometimes get things wrong. And I know some of you will be familiar with the concept of creating something called a spike to explore something in a bit more detail. Again, a very agile behavior. So those are the five agile behaviors. I'm just keeping a very close eye on the clock because, like all trainers, I tend to talk quite a lot. So I'm just keeping a very close eye on the clock. I want to make sure we've got enough time for a Q&A session. The next thing I'm going to talk about is frameworks. And there are many frameworks, approaches, methods, whatever you want to call them, that are recognized as being agile. You can see a list of those at the bottom of the slide. I'm sure quite a few of you are familiar with some or most of those frameworks. Some are more common than others. The most popular worldwide, I believe, is Scrum and has been for a long time. I think Scrum is the most widely used agile approach, probably closely followed by Kanban, I would say, perhaps worldwide. Some of them are only or mainly applicable to IT, and I've put a little asterisk next to the ones that I think are predominantly applicable to software development, but that implies that quite a few of them are not necessarily just about software development. And I've also highlighted in red the three that are specifically covered in the Prince2 Agile manual. So there is a copy of the Scrum guide in the Prince2 Agile manual, because Scrum would be the most common approach used by development teams to do product development. There's also quite a lot of information about Kanban, especially the Kanban method, which some of you might be familiar with. It also talks about Lean Startup, which is where the original MVP term came from. Some of the others are mentioned in passing, but there's not a lot of information about those. But they are in the book. Let's look at the focus areas. So there are five focus areas in Agile. First of all, there is this tool called the Agilometer. I quite like that word, because it sort of tells you what it does. And in the Agilometer, which is basically the diagram on the top right-hand side of the slide, there are six areas that you should look at. And there are sliders that you basically apply to understand how suitable your project is for Agile. What it can also do is, if you are going to use Agile on your project, it can help you understand where some of the areas of risk might be. So are we going to struggle to communicate and work collaboratively because we've got a global team that's working in, you know, three different time zones, for example? That, you know, is going to make it more difficult to do those two things. So that's something we should think about doing something about. You know, do we have wide acceptance of Agile? Do we have the right environment to use Agile in? Are we going to be able to develop iteratively and deliver incrementally? And finally, is there flexibility on what we deliver to the customer? If there's no flexibility and everything has to be delivered at the same time, for example, then that's almost certainly not suitable for an Agile approach. So the Agilometer is quite a nice little tool provided by Prince2 Agile. Some of you in the group might be familiar with a similar tool known as the Project Approach Questionnaire, which is in one of the other Agile approaches, which some of you might have come across. Also, there's a strong focus on requirements and making sure that we've got, you know, well-defined requirements. Again, in my role as an Agile coach, I do work with lots of teams that struggle with requirements. And we'll talk a little bit very briefly about user stories in a few minutes time. Also, rich communication actually comes up in two places in this. So it comes up again in the as a focus area, you know, making sure that we're using, you know, sensible channels for people to communicate with. And we're trying to get away from those push channels like email as much as we can and use perhaps more visual forms of communication. Also, we try and release things frequently to the customer, as frequently as makes sense. You know, it might make sense to deliver something to the customer at the end of a sprint or a time box, or we might need a number of sprints or time boxes to actually release something to the customer. But we try and make those as frequent as we can so that we're frequently delivering value to the customer. The final focus area is Agile contracts. And I've put at the bottom of the slide, I don't know whether you guys can read the detail on that, a little diagram that I extracted from the Prince2 Agile course. I've worked on both sides of Agile contracts as both a supplier and a customer, and I know how challenging they are, because we can't put detailed deliverables in the contract. So, you know, and we shouldn't have things like penalty clauses in an Agile contract, and that makes it very challenging. So that's another one of Prince2 Agile's focus areas, and it gives you some quite good guidance on putting together an Agile contract. What else have we got? So techniques, and there are lots of techniques or practices that are considered to be Agile. I put together quite a long list of them on this slide. Very widely used user stories, which originally came from XP back in the 90s, used by most Agile teams in my experience. I always describe user stories as a simple, difficult technique, because the format is very straightforward. It's actually quite a challenge to write really good user stories in my experience. It's a real skill. Retrospectives, and again, terminology I'm sure quite a few of you have come across before, you know, frequently looking at how things are going. What's going well? What's going badly? What might we do differently now that will make things better? So very aligned with continuous improvement. Then burn charts, you know, most commonly burn down charts in my experience, but there are also burn up charts as a visual way of showing progress in a team. Daily stand-ups or daily scrums, both terms mean the same thing. For me, a really powerful part of Agile. Just an opportunity for the development team to have just a quick, 15 minute quick catch up. Where are we? What issues have we got? Are we on track? And again, my view as an Agile PM is if you come across a development team who are resistant to doing daily stand-ups, then something's probably wrong, by the way, in my experience. Again, in the real world, it might not actually make sense to do them daily, but that's a slightly different conversation. Also, time boxing and doing work in fixed chunks of time, very Agile behavior. Most development teams would call those sprints because that's what they're called in Scrum. Measuring flow. And this aligns very well with the sort of Kanban approach of, measuring our productivity as a team as we go through. And some of you may have come across things like cumulative flow diagrams and things like that as ways of measuring that. Also, a very collaborative technique, workshops or facilitated workshops, they're called sometimes. Not rocket science. If it's helpful, get people together in a room to thrash something out. It's not a very scientific definition of a workshop, but that's what they are, basically. Also, a very widely used technique, and the Principles to Agile handbook manual does mention this, is a prioritization technique called MOSCO. It's been around since 1994, I think, was when it first appeared. It's been around for donkey's years, but a very widely used technique by all sorts of Agile teams. Again, I'm just keeping an eye on the clock, trying to get through these slides as quickly as I can. So what are the concepts in Principles to Agile? Well, first of all, always prioritizing what you do. And part of the Agile mindset is to prioritize everything, basically, and ask the question, is this actually important? And I think MOSCO is a really nice way of doing that. Some of you will know I'm an enormous fan of MOSCO. Delivering solutions incrementally rather than doing it at the end of the project, as we discussed earlier. Not necessarily delivering everything. And it's absolutely key that the customer understands that. As I say on Agile project management courses, the shiny stuff in Agile is a really easy sell. Telling them that they're not going to get everything they ask for is a much more complex conversation, but you have to have that conversation at the beginning of the project. They've got to understand that's the compromise that they've got to accept if they want the shiny bits. Also, when we develop solutions, doing it cyclically and iteratively and getting lots of feedback as we do it. I'm sure some of you have heard the expression fail fast. That's how we fail fast. Getting things wrong, learning from that, and then getting them right is actually a very positive behavior. Also, I'm sure some of you have come across what are sometimes called the pillars of Agile, two of which are inspect and adapt. So frequently and regularly inspect how things are going. Adapt your behavior to make things better. Fundamental cornerstones of Agile. Also being very time focused and having a very strong focus on finishing things on time, he says, looking at the clock. Also limiting work in progress. And I know some of you might be familiar with Kanban boards where you might have, WIP limits, work in progress limits at the top of each column. And that limits the amount of work that the team can look at any one time. And therefore, they should only then take on new work if they've actually got capacity. And that's all about smoothing flow, which is a fundamental concept of the Kanban method, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with. And then finally, a word that's often thrown around in Agile is the word Kaizen, which broadly, it's a Japanese word that broadly translates as change for the better. It's not a direct translation, but it means continuous improvement. Change things if they're not working to make them better. The final thing I'm going to talk about, and I'm almost on time, is my concept, and I'll keep this very brief. But I know some of you, if you've been on one of my courses before, will have heard me talk about this. Agile by stealth means looking at Agile as basically being common sense. And when you boil Agile down to what it's really all about, a lot of it just seems really obvious. Of course you should deliver on time. And of course you should collaborate with the customer. Of course you should do that. It makes complete sense. Of course you should deliver value early if you can. The problem with Agile, or one of the problems with Agile, is all the jargon. We talk about sprints and backlogs and time boxes and iterations and all the language that's floating around. Do we need all that jargon? Sometimes you don't even have to call it Agile. You could actually say, well, let's just try this little technique. Let's not go blazing in and say, this is Agile, we're doing things Agile. Let's try and almost sneak it under the radar. Hence the graphic, by the way. And isn't an Agile project, isn't it just a project? that happens to have some agile features at the end of the day. This is a subject I could go on about for some time, by the way, but I'm keeping my eye on the clock and I know I don't have time to do that. So that's, I think, pretty much the end. Just before we do the Q&A session, which we have still just about got time for, what else is going on at Knowledge Train and Agile KLC? I won't read all these courses out for you, but we run courses in all sorts of different areas relating to the subject matter, agile courses, project management courses, courses that bring the two together. If you're interested in following up on any of those, then either get in touch with me or contact Knowledge Train using the email at the bottom of the slide. Enough of the sales pitch. That brings us to the end of the story. Bit of a whistle-stop tour. It's very hard for me to talk about this stuff in a short space of time, as some of you will know from previous experience. Now it's time for any questions. We've got 13 minutes left, just under, that anyone has. Carmine, long time no see. It's a few years ago that you came on one of my courses. So I'm looking at Carmine's question in the chat. Ciao, indeed. I'm constantly trying to improve myself. Prince 2, PMP, MOR, Agile DSDM, done with me, exactly. Currently working in cybersecurity. Well, that's an interesting one. I know I give this answer all the time, don't I? But it depends on where you want to go, doesn't it? Agile program management would potentially be an option. SAFe might be another one. I mean, obviously, I could mention Prince 2 Agile. You've got Prince 2, so Prince 2 Agile would be another one to look at. I don't know whether you guys know this, but there is a 3-day Prince 2 Agile course, and there's a Prince 2 Agile practitioner qualification that you do at the end of it. So that's another one to think about. Other than that, I guess potentially Scrum. You know, if you're working with people who are using Scrum, then Scrum Master or something like that would be a good one to have. That wasn't a very helpful answer, was it? It depends on where you want to go, basically, Carmine. Right, were there any, I'm just scrolling up the chat. Were there any other questions that popped in the chat? Have I missed any? Well done to Chris for getting the cheese question right, by the way. Oh, okay, so Christian has just put a comment in the chat. How can Agile be used to manage a program with multiple projects running simultaneously? Okay, so first of all, so Prince 2 is obviously designed for running projects, individual projects. Agile PM is the same. Agile PM, which is based on DSDM, which Carmine has just mentioned, is also based on running projects. There is an Agile program management handbook, which does go up to that next, that container for multiple related projects. I'm going to be honest with you, Christian, it's challenging, because in a program with multiple projects, you've very often got projects that are quite agile and projects that are not very agile. If you're, again, to use a software example, you've got, building the infrastructure, typically done in a more waterfall way, building the GUI, the front end, done in a more agile way. So there's no easy answer to that question, Christian. It's challenging. It absolutely can be done. The two approaches that look at that are agile program management, but there's also SAFe. I don't know whether you're familiar with SAFe, Scaled Agile Framework for the Enterprise, which, yes, if you're in that space, Christian, I feel your pain. It is a very challenging space to be in, but it might be worth having a look at something like SAFe, potentially, Scaled Agile Framework for the Enterprise. That, again, takes it up to the program and then the portfolio level, actually. Good. Sorry, I've gone a bit croaky. Sorry, talking too much. Are there any other questions from anybody in the group? So Amelia's posted a question about the qualifications. So there is, yes, nicely done, Chris. So that there is a foundation level qualification, Prince 2 Agile, and I did make a note of what the format was, and then I've thrown the post-it away. That's gone well. My recollection is that it's 50 questions in an hour, and it's not 50% pass mark, sorry. I was expecting this question, so I wrote it down, and then I've lost the post-it. That's really stupid of me. I know that the foundation one is an hour's exam, and I think it's 50 questions, and I think it's a 60% pass mark or something like that. The practitioner one is a 2.5 hour exam, also 50 questions. I think it's a 56% pass mark, and it's a scenario based object. It's a 60. Thank you, Bina. Thank you very much. It's a I think the it's a scenario based exam. If you've done Prince 2 or Agile PM or MSP, the format of the exams is very similar actually to those. So there's a foundation level, which is for most people generally pretty straightforward, and there's a practitioner level, which I would say is a quite a challenging exam, like they all are. Sorry, that was a slightly vague answer. Hopefully that makes sense. Who was it who asked that? I've scrolled down too far. Amelia. Oh, that's a good question. I've just seen a question from Chris. I'm not the right person to answer that, but I believe that when you pay for the cost of the course, it includes the cost of the exam. I'm 95% sure that's true. Sefkan, you might be able to confirm that if you're there.
Yes, that should be the case. What I am going to do is for both Amelia and Chris Studs, I'm going to send them emails just about more information. Would that be okay for both of you?
Good idea.
That's Chris
In fact,
Studs.
yeah, that would be a good
Yeah.
idea to confirm that. What else have we got? Have we got any others? Da, 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 yeah, just to come back to Chris's question, any course that has an exam as part of the course, the exam fee is generally part of the course fee, as far as I know. And I think, is that, have I missed any questions, Sevcan, or have I got them all? It's a very small chat box I'm looking at.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that should be all. Let's
Oh.
just see.
In which case does that mean I've finished early?
Okay.
So very unlikely.
Jane.
I could have spent more time talking through my slides in the end. I don't know if you've seen Carmine's comment in the chat, Sevcan.
Yes, I'm just writing her
Okay.
name down. And which course are you interested in? Agile, perfect. Okay.
Well, we can offer quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chris has asked for the same thing.
Chris. Yep, I've written Chris's name down. Program
Yeah.
management.
So agile program management potentially for Carmine by the look of it. Good. And so if there are any other questions, please pop them in the chat. Otherwise, guys, I think we're basically done.
I am quickly going to put a feedback poll just so you can quickly answer six simple questions. I would really appreciate it. I really hope everyone learned something new today, and I can see that many people found it very interested, which I'm glad, and I'm sure Andrew's glad about that.
This is terrifyingly
Yeah.
immediate feedback, Sevcan.
Oh. That's impressive.
So far, so good.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously this has been very much a whistle stop tour at a very high level. There's a lot, there's a as some of you know, there's a lot more I can say about a lot of these topics. Whether you want me to or not is a whole different question. Thanks for the comments in the chat. If anyone does have any questions they think I might be able to address, then please feel free to drop me an email. It's andrew@agilekrc.com. I'm happy to deal with queries by email if anyone wants to find out anything more about anything we've talked about, etc. If it's to do with courses, I'll probably pass you on to someone at Knowledge Train or Agile KLC. But if it's to do with Agile, please drop me.
I think Karen has a question for you,
Yes, I've just seen
Andrew.
that one. So that's a good one. So we do talk about this actually on the Prince 2 Agile course. And when we talk about closing a project, the final part of Prince 2, in theory, closing a project down and doing that final retrospective and review should be a really straightforward thing. Because as you've said in the chat, Karen, because you're doing continuous improvement and you're trying to improve things all the way through the project, there shouldn't be any surprises at the end of an agile project. So closing an agile project down should be relatively straightforward. You'll have noticed I've just used the word should about four times. So clearly in the real world, that's not always going to be the case. But in theory, the lessons that you learn should be learned during the project, which again, to me, has always felt like common sense. You know, learning lessons at or after the end of a project is too late for that project. Cheers, Carmine. Speak to you soon. So that's always been my view. So, you still need to close the project down and do that sort of project handover, but it should be very straightforward. Hopefully that makes sense, Karen. Yes, thank you. Sevkan's just put my email address in the chat. Susanna, I saw you asked what my email address was. Sorry. I probably read it out very quickly. Cool. Still got 3 minutes left if anyone's got any other questions. I can see we're slowly starting to lose people. I'm pleased that 27 have stayed for 57 minutes, though. That's all. That's encouraging. It's all gone quiet, Sevkan.
Yes, I can see someone is typing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can see that. Yes, just to pick up on Fiona's comment, this is the first one of these that I've done, I must admit, but I'm hoping we will do more. And I've actually got a list of my hobby topics that I'd like to talk about. Us trainers love a platform to talk, you know we do. So yes, hopefully there will be more. Absolutely right. Thank you, Bina. Okay. Thanks, Eduardo. Thank you for attending.
I don't think there's going to be any more questions.
No, someone's typing. Am I right in thinking that, Olu, you dialed in from Nigeria? Sorry, I've shortened your name to Olu there. That's really rude, actually. I should just try and say your whole name. I think I spotted earlier in the list of participants that you dialed in from Nigeria. So welcome. Thank you, Karen. You're welcome. There we go. Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, Mbupe. Yeah, guys, you can drop off whenever. Feel free to email me if you think of any questions after the event. Yeah, Alexa, I'm very fond of the expression Agile by Stealth, and it genuinely will be the title of my book if I ever get around to writing it. Sadly, I'm probably a bit too lazy to actually write that book, but I know I should. We're down to 7, 6, Sevkan.
Yes, I think that should be the end.
Yeah,
those who stayed. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, and have a nice evening, everyone, and you, of course, Andrew. Thanks so much for everything.
No worries. Cheers. Thank you for your support.
Thank you very much. Bye, everyone.
Let's see you next time.